We as Christians tend to think of the various teachings of Scripture in isolation from one another. We really shouldn't do this, but we do. The old theologians had a term. It was corpus doctrinae. That's a Latin phrase meaning the body of teaching. They viewed Scripture's teachings as an organic whole, individual members connected together in a vital way so that you can't pull one out and without doing harm to the whole body of teaching. That's the way Christians ought to look at the teachings of Scripture. So is there any connection between creation and salvation, the incarnation of Jesus Christ in the very first few days of the world's existence, according to the book of Genesis? We're going to be talking about creation, incarnation, and salvation with Pastor Charles Lehman for the next, well, for the remainder of the program today. Pastor Charles Lehman is a regular guest pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland, and author of the children's book, God Made It for You. Charles, welcome back.
It's a pleasure to be on.
Is there any connection between creation and the incarnation of Jesus Christ?
Absolutely, because in the incarnation, when Jesus takes human flesh into himself, God is actually becoming part of creation. He's binding himself to his creation in a way that is just impossible to take back.
A permanent relationship now, physical relationship into his own created order?
Exactly, because we confess that Jesus is true God and true man, and when Jesus, as the eternal Son of God, takes humanity into himself and becomes man, man now has a permanent relationship with the Holy Trinity, and this is a relationship between God and the created order that really is unthinkable in any other religion.
So what happens if you take, for instance, the biblical view of creation and all that goes along with it, and excise this, extract it from the body of doctrine that is Christian doctrine, and say, well, you know, okay, I believe in Jesus for my salvation, come on, but creation, that's optional. What happens?
A number of things happen. Probably the most dangerous place that this can go, if you buy into the dogma of evolution and say that, you know, the species developed over millions or billions of years through, you know, hundreds of thousands of generations, what you have is death apart from sin. And if you have death apart from sin, then the incarnation of Jesus Christ really is utter nonsense, because the way that the Scriptures speak of death is that it is a consequence of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. Romans 8 says, the whole creation groans like groaning in childbirth for the sons of God to be revealed, because it was subjected to this by the sin of Adam. And so if the cause of death is not the sin of Adam, then the righteousness of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, really does us no good whatsoever.
So it eviscerates the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross if you can contemplate in a serious way death reigning apart from the sin of Adam and Eve.
Exactly. And if you look at the way that hardline evolution dogma has played itself out, I think you see that you can't really have it without eviscerating the doctrine of atonement. You end up with an entire worldview where God not only is optional, but really he's contrary to the whole idea. What you end up with is exactly the sort of worldview that Moses was attacking when he gave us the account of creation that we have in Genesis.
When we come back from this break, I want to talk a little bit more about the connection between the incarnation and the creation. I mean, I think some people tend to think the creation is kind of like well begun, but then man screwed it up, and God had to come up with plan B. He had intended that it all be just like the first few days with Adam and Eve, if it even lasted that long. And then suddenly, out of the blue, Adam, sins and falls into sin and drags creation down with him into the futility of death and decay. And so God has to dream something up, like, okay, I'll send my son. I'll put him into human flesh and we'll make a sacrifice for sin and we'll try and restore everything. How do you walk the fine line between God not planning for or intending the fall of man into sin and death itself and the beautiful redemptive promise that he makes to Adam and Eve, even as they have fallen into sin, that he would send his son to crush the serpent's head? We're going to answer that question on the other side of the break. You know, there are a lot of ways you can go wrong with this. But there is already in Genesis chapter 3 a promise of the incarnation, the seed of the woman. That's Jesus. There's no mistaking him right there. Sounds like Jesus and his incarnation was planned all along, maybe even, as Paul says, from before the foundation of the world. Now, there's a mystery for you. We'll be right back.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We got 10 more minutes in the program today. An awful lot to talk about with Pastor Charles Lehman, connecting creation, incarnation, and salvation. You know, it isn't a stretch to connect these things. Scripture does it itself. God himself connects creation, incarnation, and salvation, even before you get out of the third chapter of the book of Genesis. Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland, and author of the children's book, God Made It For You. Okay, how do we affirm what Paul says in not only in Ephesians but elsewhere, that from before the foundation of the world, God chose us in Christ to be redeemed in him, and somehow saying that God planned for the fall of man into sin?
Well, certainly God's foreknowledge allows him to do all of these things, but a lot of times we do get into the difficulty that you mentioned just before the break, that you know, we look at the atonement as kind of a plan B. You know, God creates the universe, and then, you know, the fall into sin happens. Uh-oh, we've got to do something to fix this problem. Well, you know, we don't know. We don't want to get into speculation about, you know, who caused sin and that sort of thing. But what we can say is that God had a very, very special relationship with his creation even before the fall, and Scripture does affirm that all those who are saved in Christ, God has planned for their salvation from before the foundation of the world. So I think what we should do with regard to this question is just see this speaking of election as a doctrine of comfort that says, you know, God never left anything to chance. He wanted to save you, and he planned that from before the foundation of the world.
And he did it in Christ. It was
yes.
Chosen in Christ, planned in Christ, purposed in Christ. Paul just adds up all the verbs there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What does it mean to be chosen or to be where Christ is in mind from before the foundation of the world?
Well, I think that where we get this in Genesis most clearly is in Genesis 1. I don't think you even have to go to chapter 3 before we get a promise of Christ. We get it even in chapter 1 when God creates man in the image of God. And then in Colossians 1, Paul tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And so what we learn there is that the image of God is Christ. And so what does it mean for Adam and Eve to be created in the image of God? Well, it means that they are created in Christ. And again, from Paul, we know what in Christ means. It means in a relationship with Christ where we look to him for every good thing, and in our fallen state, we look to him for our salvation. So I would say that what we can say that is common between Adam and Eve before the fall and us is that both Adam and Eve before the fall and we now look to God in Christ for every good thing. And now, because of our fall into sin, that includes also the forgiveness of sin and our salvation.
So even in their sinless state, Adam and Eve, before the fall, had their communion with their Creator through the Son, Christ.
Absolutely. That's the joy of this promise that God, you know, creates in the image of God. And you see this, Moses is so good at drawing these themes together in the way that he writes it all out, because though certainly we look at Genesis 1 and we see how God actually did it, the way that Moses through the inspiration of God wrote it down tells us even more. In Genesis 2. You have this description of the land where you've got gold and you've got onyx stone and all these gems, and you've got the tree of life in the middle of the garden with next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then after the fall into sin, cherubim are placed there to guard the way to the tree of life. Well, when God establishes the sacrificial system, he's doing it in such a way so that it's obvious to the Israelites that what's going on is he's giving Eden back to them. You can see a tree there in the lampstand, which is fashioned to look like a tree. You can see those golden gemstones through all the altar furnishings. And even those cherubim are there. They're in the walls of the tabernacle, welcoming the people back into the presence of God. But they're doing that only on the basis of the sacrifice which is taking place there. And so from the very beginning, through Moses, God gives us the story of a God who loves his creation, communes with them through Christ, and when we mess up that relationship, God reestablishes it and makes it clear even through architecture that what he's doing is he's giving paradise, he's giving Eden back to us.
Is this why when we get to the other end of Scripture, to Revelation and the final chapters there, and John is given this vision of the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven to make God's dwelling among men, all of the features of Eden return, except this time in spades?
Yeah, exactly. Some people like to say that that in heaven, Eden will be restored. I think maybe a better way to put it is that in heaven, Eden is consummated. Everything that you see the potentiality of in Eden, you get the fullness of in heaven, because in heaven you have the fullness of who Christ is for us. And so you have this entire forest of filled with the tree of life, one for each month, and the seasons are running into each other. And you just have extravagant abundance that is so much that there's no way we could ever enjoy it all. But that's just the kind of God we have.
Do we already have it?
Yes. We have it in our baptism, in the fact that Christ dwells in us. But we also have it in a very full way on Sunday morning when we celebrate the Lord's Supper and get to eat Christ's body and drink his blood. When heaven actually comes down to us and is given, and all the fruits of the cross are distributed to us in the Holy Liturgy, and when God's word is preached, and when our sins are forgiven, and when we receive the Lord's Supper.
Finally, then, with only a minute, Pastor Lehman, in fact, a little bit less, can we take these things apart, the three things we've discussed, creation, incarnation, and salvation, and hope to retain the hope that is promised in Christ for us?
No, not at all. It's very much like a wagon wheel that Luther described. He would say, you got the hub in the middle of the wagon wheel, and you got the spokes supporting the hub. You take out the spokes, and the wheel's going to collapse. And these three things are really impossible to separate, because in the Old Testament, Moses reveals to us this God who loves us and provides for all our needs, and even when we sin against him, provides the restoration of that perfect relationship. And so from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, you have creation, salvation, and incarnation are of a piece with one another. God is with man in Christ, and God is with man in Adam, and you just can't pull them apart.
Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland, author of the children's book, God Made It For You. Folks, go to the on-demand page of our website tonight, issuesetc.org. We'll post information on God Made It For You. It's a children's book, but it delivers in a children's way all of the things we were talking about with Pastor Charles Lehman. You got to get it for your kids. You can order this children's book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's called God Made It For You by Pastor Charles Lehman. Chaz, thanks for being our guest.
It's always a pleasure, Todd.
Tomorrow on the program, Scripture Alone. If you have enjoyed Rod Rosenblatt so far in our series on the great solas of the Reformation, we started with grace, we did faith, oh, we started with Christ. We did grace. We did faith alone. Tomorrow, it'll be Scripture Alone, the fourth and the final of the great solas of the Reformation. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt will be our guest. We'll also visit with St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Colleen Carroll Campbell and talk with her tomorrow on the program. We take it all as a whole because God delivers it all to us as a whole. What does Paul say? He says, and this is so often misunderstood or poorly understood, if any man be in Christ, he is the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is the new creation. For to be in Christ is to be welcomed back graciously through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, into the new creation. To be welcomed back mercifully through the forgiveness of sins into Eden, into paradise, into a perfect relationship with our Creator and our God. It is all ours right now by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.